This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite to catch up on the team that has not had a home run king since 1986. That's right, Randy Bass was our last home run king. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is April the 24th, 2017, and this is episode 58. Welcome to the show. Before we get too deep into the show, let me talk a little bit about the number 58s we've had on the team recently. In 2010, we had a guy named Casey Fossum. He was a pitcher, kind of a diminutive guy, and he only lasted for one season. After a couple of good starts, he really fell apart, and he was just unable to continue with the team. And since then, actually, that offseason, we drafted a guy named Fumiya Araki, and he was our fifth-round draft pick. And he is still struggling to find a place on the team. He showed up in a career-high 46 games last season, so not very many. But he's been with the top squad all season so far. He's known for his speediness, and so hopefully he'll be stealing some bases and getting our attention that way.
All right, everybody, confession time. I had a guest lined up for this week, and we did a recording, and it failed miserably. And so I'm stuck here with some blank space, and I'm going to fill it just by talking to you a little bit about life as a baseball fan. Today, I even tried to fill it with my three-year-old son. We tried to have a little talk about the Hanshin Tigers, and it went well for about 5 seconds. So, anyways, let's get on with the show.
Let's recap the action of this past week. So Tuesday, we were in Nagoya. We were in the Dome. And we brought Yuta Iwasada to the mound. He went up against Raul Valdez of the Dragons. And this is how the scoring went down, everybody. In the top of the fifth inning, with runners on first and second and two outs, Mr. Yoshio Itoi hit one to left field, got us the first run of the game, so we are up 1-0. That run, however, was gotten right back in the bottom of the inning, and that came on an Iwasada wild throw. So it just seems like every pitcher on our team has to get in on the error action, and so there's Iwasada. So 1-1 in the bottom of the fifth, and the score remained that way until the eighth inning. And in the top of the eighth, Nakatani hit a pinch hit sacrifice fly. And that was also followed by a Hojo triple. And so that made the score 3-1. And that was how this one ended, because Iwasada went seven and two-thirds innings. And he got the win. Yeah, he got the win. Sorry. And Mateo got the hold, and Dolis got the save on the day. So that was a nice win for us. And it looked like that was going to be the start of great things to come. You know, we made a couple of errors on the day, and that kind of was not good. Obviously, you know, that's something that we want to try and avoid, but we continue to commit the errors, and we're piling them up on a record pace. But we were also counterbalanced by some poor base running by the Chunichi Dragons a couple of times. Their runner got picked off. One time, the throw did not even make it to it did make it to first base, but the runner took off for second, so he didn't even go back. And the other time, he tried to get back and was unable to get back in time. I think Hirata was one of them, and Oshima was the other. I could be wrong. But so that was nice for us to be able to get those free outs. And, you know, the announcers on TV were even saying, man, you know, these Dragons are playing some real uninspired ball. True. One other note, and that is that with a runner on third base and one out, Toritani came up. This was in the bottom, the top of the eighth, pardon me, when the score was 2-1. So there was a runner on third. That was after Nakatani's sack fly. Sorry, he was not pinch hitting that day, by the way. He was in replacing Fukudome. He was in the starting lineup. So before Hojo's RBI triple, there was the Toritani one out runner on third. All you got to do is put the ball in play in a decent area, and he didn't do that. He put the ball in play, but it was a ground out to shortstop, I believe, And the shortstop was easily able to throw the ball back home, get the run out at home. And so Toritani with an easy RBI chance, and he threw it away. Unfortunately, you know, when your veterans do that, you kind of hope for a little bit better. But fortunately, he was bailed out by the triple by Hojo, which allowed him to score and give us that insurance run. So that was an unfortunate, you know, just a couple of sad side notes on that game on the 18th. But let's move on to the 19th. So for this one, we bring Akiyama to the mound, and he's going up against Norberto Jordan, who we have not done very well against in the past. Well, this one starts. Akiyama gives up the lead in the bottom of the first inning, and that came off the bat of Hirata with a sacrifice fly with one out and runners on second and third. So 1-0, but we got that run back and another one with an Uemoto hit to right field that brought in two runs because we had runners on second and third. It was bases loaded, and he did it. So that was great. 2-1 in the fifth, but in the bottom of the sixth, Hirata, with runners on first and third, hits into a double play and scores them a run, and that ties the game. And so heading into the eighth inning, it's a tie, and Hojo brings us into the lead with a ground out to third, but a runner scored on the play. So it's 3-2 heading into the bottom of the eighth. And in the bottom of the eighth, we have Ryoma Matsuda on the mound. And he gives up tying run. The score is now 3-3 heading into the ninth inning. And this one ends in a walk-off loss thanks to a Takashi Toritani error. The ground out to third was not an out. He fumbled the ball and he was not able to get the throw to first base in time, and the run scores, game over. A couple of notes in this one. In the fifth inning, Ryutaro Umeno with a sacrifice bunt, and you know, we don't love bunts, but he was successful in the sacrifice bunt. He was successful in reaching first base safely. However, the umps deemed he was unsuccessful in that second endeavor, so he was called out, which was kind of a bummer because we could have gotten some more runs than just the two that we got that inning. But that's okay. The other beautiful thing in this game was when Uemoto had a 10-pitch at-bat. That was on his RBI single, by the way. 10 pitches. So I love seeing this kid so far this year. He's not a kid. He's 30 years old. But I love seeing him just really foul off pitch after pitch and just being a real annoying out, or annoying non-out in this case. So good stuff for him. In this one, not to pick on Toritani too much. Okay, I do like picking on him, and so I will. Again, this was a little bit later in the game, but with Fukudome on third base and one out, you know, he has another chance at a free RBI, and instead he elects to get walked. Now, you might say, well, why would you fault a guy for looking at four bad pitches? I don't fault him for that, but I do fault him for looking at two good pitches and not swinging his bat. You know, in those chances, I would love to see Toritani be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, we're talking about a guy with four RBIs on the season, despite having, what is it, like 18 or 19 hits. So I just really feel like he's not coming through in the clutch when he needs to. And this is another example of it, just, you know, watching pitches go by, whether they're good or bad, just hoping to get on base. But that's not your job, buddy. When you're batting sixth, your job is to bring runners home. So we lose that one in a heartbreaker. By the way, this was also the day that Toritani moved into second place on the all-time list for Ironmen in NPB history. He surpassed manager Tomoaki Kanemoto, 1,767 straight games and counting. Pretty amazing accomplishment. Pretty bad way to end the game in which he moves into second place, you know, with that game-ending error. But, you know, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. Let's move on because we are going to the rubber match of this one, and it ain't going to get any prettier, but we want to move forward to the happier parts of the show, do we not? So this is Thursday night. We bring Koyo Aoyagi to the mound, and they bring Yudai Ono to the mound. And this one really was a pitcher's duel for a long time. And our boy Aoyagi, the Blue Goat, was doing a fabulous job. He was pitching really well. And so the scoring did not open in this one until the top of the fifth inning, when Fumihito Haraguchi came in and hit one to center field to get us the first run of the game. There were runners on first and third in that situation. So 1-0 and Aoyagi cruises through six innings and falls into trouble in the seventh inning. And it would have been nice to see him pulled, actually. You can argue the timing of this, but, you know, again, these are things where, in retrospect, everything looks really clear. Aoyagi was cruising in those six innings and looked great, but he allows the tying run on a Hirata home run. Just the second home run that Aoyagi has ever given up in his career. It's only a year and a bit of a career, but still, only two home runs. It was a solo shot, so tie game, and then he got a couple of more guys on base, and he got pulled, and Kuwahara comes in and gives up a bloop double, single, to Kyoda. Yota Kyoda is the Dragons' second-round draft pick of this past season, and he's got some wheels on him, folks, let me tell you. Anyways, he brought in two runs. It was a bases-loaded situation with two outs, and two guys come in, so it is 3-1 now for the Dragons. We get one back in the top of the eighth on a Takayama hit. It was a nice double where he really turned on the pitch. It was a double to left field. And so it's 3-2, and it's looking like we have got a chance, but Mateo comes in, and he's got a runner on bases. He put him on base, by the way. But anyways, there's a runner on base, and he's facing Dion Viciedo, who has no home runs on the season. Oops, now he does. He's got one home run. Yeah, you can say this was Mateo's fault, but in fact, Viciedo really muscled it over the wall. He didn't get all of the pitch. It was an oppo field one, which is kind of atypical for power hitters anyways. It barely cleared the wall, and it really didn't look like he, you know, got good connection on it. But when you're that strong, those kind of balls go over the fence. So in this one, the seventh inning, there were a couple of plays where Uemoto made some really bad plays at second base. One of them where he dropped the grounder, and then when he kind of hesitated and threw to first base, the runner ended up being safe. Another one where it looked like he should have been able to field it, but it caromed off his glove and into right field. So that was not great. Before that, though, let's talk a little bit about our favorite guy to pick on. That's right, Mr. Toritani. Nobody will talk about this because it didn't make any record books or anything like that, and maybe I'm just overly critical of him. But from my vantage point, there were a couple of balls that went in his direction, and it looked like he should have had them. It looked like his footwork, his fielding was pretty terrible, and he was unable to get to the ball in time. One of them was a grounder. One of them was a chopper that kind of went over his head, but it looked like he kind of was doing some skitterfoot action, some jitterbug action, instead of actually, you know, running a little bit more. It looked like he was taking really short strides to try and line up the chopper, and then it flew over his head. So those four plays, you know, the two by Uemoto, the two by Toritani, and this could have been a very different ball game. But one other thing that would have made this a much better ball game, and that was our boy Kosuke Fukudome. In the first inning, he grounded into a double play with runners on base. In the third inning, he grounded out to first with runners in scoring position. And in the fifth inning, again, with runners in scoring position, he struck out. So again, we lose 5-2. The losing pitcher on the day is Aoyagi because he had guys on base when he left the game, and they ended up coming around to score. But, you know, it could have been a very different game were it not for those three guys I mentioned, you know, three veterans that you hope to get a little bit more out of than we did. So we lose that series 1-2 to the lowly Dragons. You know, of all teams to lose a series to, why the Dragons? I don't know, but it happened. Let's move on. So we go into another dome, and this one being in Tokyo, to face the Yomiuri Giants. And on Friday, we bring Randy Messenger to the mound, and they bring Miles Michaelis to the mound. Well, maybe, you know, looking to atone for his unclutch play on Thursday, Mr. Fukudome, in the first inning with runners on first and second and one out, clubs one over the right field wall, so it is 3-0 for us. It's great to get that start to the game, especially against Michaelis, whom we have been unable to hit, since he joined NPB. So that was great. For his part, Randy Messenger was looking awesome. He did a really good job, except in the third inning, with the bases loaded and I think one out, the big pig, Mr. Abe, hit a sack fly to score them a run. Their one and only run of the game, I might add. Thank you, Mr. Messenger. And Hojo got it back for us in the top of the fifth inning, and this was with the bases loaded, and he fought real hard. I think it was an 0-2 count, and he brought it to a full walk, and the runner scores, and Michaelis lets out a stream of expletives at the umpire. I will not say what he said because this is a family show. Needless to say, he was pretty upset. So 4-1 at that point, and that's how this one ended because Messenger went 8 innings and Dolis came in and closed. So there you go. One more thing. Yes, let's pick on Mr. Toritani one more time. This one is legit, though, because his error in the fifth inning is what caused, pardon me, the third inning, is what caused the one run for the Giants. He bobbled the ball and was unable to get the runner at first. As a result, there was only one out when Abe came to the plate. If there had been two outs, then that sac fly would have been a pop fly. So, whatever. I mean, Randy, you know, did a good job of covering, and we won the game. So let's let Tori off the hook for today. Fukudome, by the way, not only hit the three-run home run, he had four hits on the day, including a double and two singles, and that jack. So great start to the series against our bitter foes. Saturday, we bring Nomi to the mound, Atsushi Nomi, and they bring Kazuto Taguchi. Kazuto Taguchi is another pitcher that we have terrible time against. He has beaten us in five straight outings. And let's make it six because we'll cut to the chase here. The Giants win this one 4-1, the same score that we beat them by the day before. And interestingly, some of the things that we did to them, they ended up doing to us in this one. Fukudome, though, again, leads off the scoring in the top of the first inning. This one came on a base hit to right field with runners on first and second. So that was a nice start to the game. In the third inning, though, Hayato Sakamoto hits one up the middle with runners on second and third and one out, and both runners score. So it's 2-1 for the Giants. And it stayed that way until the seventh inning, and this is in relief. We've got Ryoma Matsuda coming into the game. And Kyuji Fujikawa coming into the game first. And allowing a run. This was on a one out, runners on first and third situation, and a base hit to left field for Tateoka. And then the next inning, Ryoma Matsuda comes in and gives up a monster shot. I think it was the longest home run of the day in NPB to Casey McGee. So it was a solo shot, fortunately. So 4-1 is the final. That is the end of that. An unfortunate loss, obviously, since Nomi is still looking for his first win of the season, and he's looking to get closer to the 100-win mark, but he's not been able to make his way there yet. He's stuck at 92. So Nomi, with an error, he was covering first base, and the toss from the first baseman was perfectly fine, but he bobbled it, and he was unable to get the out. And that was what led to the start of the rally, where they got the two runs on the Sakamoto hit. By the way, the Sakamoto hit was... it was like a drive to center field. And by drive, I'm talking like golfing drive. Because this ball was literally like below his ankles. And he still, you know, was able to make good enough connection with it to get it to center field. So, you know, you really can't fault Nomi on that pitch. You can fault him for the error that led to this situation. You can fault him for the hit before that or the walk or whatever it was. But certainly this hit was not his fault. Another thing to talk about in this one, and that is that after the first inning, when we got that one run with the Fukudome hit, we got two hits the rest of the way from the second inning through the ninth. One of those was a Hojo double in the second inning. The other one was a Nomi single in the fifth. However, that could have been called an error almost because they kind of replicated what Nomi did in the third inning, where Taguchi was covering first base on a Nomi dribbler. But this time, the toss from first baseman Shuichi Murata was not good, and Taguchi was unable to, you know, catch it. So Nomi was safe. So that was our second hit. Nomi on this day, his control was bad. He was missing the glove by a lot. His pitches were well out of the strike zone at times, and the same could be said of Kyuji. You know, it seems like every other game, Kyuji has got terrible control, and you know, the tweets keep coming. Kyuji, you can retire at the end of this year. Yeah, maybe you're right. Anyways, let's move on. I don't like talking in depth about Tigers' losses to the Giants. So let's go to Sunday. Yesterday, we bring Yuya Yokoyama, 2014 first-round pick, to the mound, and they bring Tetsuya Utsumi. So what does this mean? This means that the Tigers this week faced five left-handed pitchers, and Miles Michaelis being the only right-hander they face. I think teams might be lining themselves up for this. You know, they look at our main hitters. You know, you've got Yoshio Itoi, Kosuke Fukudome, Takashi Toritani, These are three of our main hitters. And then Shun Takayama as well. They're all lefties. So, you know, when you take those four threats out, because, you know, presumably lefties don't hit well against lefties. Well, Fukudome proved that to be wrong. But the others, you know, didn't do so great. Anyways, that's the deal. Utsumi is a lefty, and so he came in and he did the same thing as his predecessors did. Fukudome again with an RBI in the first inning. This one also coming in the form of a hit to right field with a runner on third base. That runner on third would be leadoff man Masahiro Nakatani. That's right. He was replacing Takayama in the lineup in this one. So he scores 1-0 for us. A couple innings later, Fukudome again with an RBI. This one on a sacrifice fly on a 2-0 count. And so it's 2-0 for us. They get one back in the bottom of the inning. Shuichi Murata with a hit to center field. And so they get one, is 2-1. But guess what? That's all. The game ends 2-1. Yokoyama goes 5 innings and is followed up by 2 innings from Kuwahara, 1 from Mateo, and 1 from Dolis. Kuwahara did not have clean innings. He didn't go 2 full innings. He went 1 2/3, and Mateo went 1 1/3. So what ended up happening was that Kuwahara had a couple of jams, but the key in this one was that he struck out Abe with 2 outs and runners in scoring position in the 7th inning. That was clutch. And in fact, Katsuya Nomura, the godfather of baseball in some respects, even had some kind words for Kuwahara, great pitching to get Abe out. And they've never seen a pitcher like him before, stuff like that. So anyways, that was key. And then Mateo came in and struck out 3 straight, one of them to end the 7th inning, and then 2 more in the 8th inning to start the 8th inning. So yeah, Kuwahara, pardon me, that strikeout was in the 6th inning to Abe. The Murata hit for the RBI was also a great hit. It was not a pitch in the zone, and he ended up finding a way to get it into center field. And Yokoyama, for his part, even though he went just the 5 innings, he didn't have his best stuff. You know, he walked quite a few guys. I think he walked 4 guys, and he was missing the target a lot as well. So, maybe it was nerves, maybe it was jitters, maybe it's just that he needs more work on his mechanics, but, you know, he was still able to fool them enough, and, you know, he just mixed his stuff real well. He was throwing fast stuff, he was throwing breaking stuff, and he was throwing a changeup, I think, and it just really was fooling the Giants quite a bit, so that was nice to see. I did feel, though, that our fielders, I don't know, they just didn't seem very fast out there, and I'm talking shortstop, Hojo, third base, Toritani, and center field, Itoi. These guys, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, when you're in the game and you're experienced and you know that they couldn't have made those plays, or, you know, in the case of Itoi, there's no need to charge that ball coming in because the runners are already going to be safe or whatever. But it would be nice to see them trying a little bit more. I just feel like they were lacking some life there. But we win the series 2-1 in Tokyo. So that's great. We are leading the season series with the Giants 3-2. And that's not a bad thing, ladies and gentlemen. So we'll take it. Congrats, Tigers. Good job. We finished the week 3 wins, 3 losses. I predicted 4 wins and 2 losses. I lose, but I'll take the loss. You know, hopefully we'll do better against the Dragons this coming week.
This is your week.
Player of the week. That's right. It is time. And the obvious choice when you listen back to the recaps would be Kosuke Fukudome with the 6 RBIs against the Giants, and, you know, since we only scored 7 runs, that represents a large chunk of our offense. But he also was terrible in the Thursday game against the Dragons. He only got 1 hit on Wednesday, and he had Tuesday off. So despite his pretty good week, one more note on Fukudome. He has been a Hanshin Tiger now for 4 seasons and a bit, and his former team is the Chunichi Dragons, so you'd think, you know, the park is familiar to him. Even some of the pitchers are familiar to him. You'd think he would have a home run or two against them during these 4-plus seasons. Nope. Negative. Nary a single ding-dong in Nagoya since becoming a Tiger. So come on, Kosuke. Hoero! Shobu Kimero, let's go. Let's get a home run one of these times. So, my player of the week is none other than Randy Messenger. 8 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts, no earned runs against the bitter rival Giants. I mentioned this on Randy's mom, Kathy's Facebook page, because, you know, she posted about her son's hero interview, and she's so proud of her son. I love it. It's great. Anyways, I mentioned to her that, you know, the Giants scouts, the Giants players, they have been, you know, they've had their eye on Randy for 8 seasons now, or over 7 seasons, and they've seen every pitch that he's got. They've seen his technique. They know what speed he throws at. They know his tendencies when he throws. And still, you know, after 7+ years, he's able to have their number, and he's able to beat them consistently. So props to you, Randy. Good job, and we look forward to the next one.
So the first piece of news that I have to share with you all, unfortunately, is some really sad news on the baseball coverage front, and that is that the most well-known and really the pioneer of English coverage of baseball here in Japan, Wayne Grasek, passed away last Tuesday night. He was actually covering the Yomiuri Giants down in Kumamoto, and he was about to head to Kagoshima for the following day's game, also the Giants. And he passed away overnight at some point in his hotel room at the age of 68. Now, the cause of his death is not really 100% known or disclosed, and it never will be, but we are just very saddened. You know, everybody that I've talked to about Wayne, you know, just really loved him. You know, they had nothing but positive things to say about him. And in fact, I'm going to read to you what my guest today, Mark, was going to say about Wayne. I've known Wayne Grasek for almost 4 years, but it seems like I've known him forever. I've been buying 3 copies of his Japan Media Guide for the past 9 seasons, one to keep at work, one at home, and one in my backpack. I met him, like most people, at the Tokyo Dome. It was a big group of 150 people from all the U.S. bases nearby, and there was an event at Tokyo Dome. So I met him. He was watching batting practice, as he always liked to do, and he was chatting before the game. I joined him and Jason Koskri for dinner at Legends afterwards. Anyway, I got to know Wayne much better when one of my longtime Yokosuka friends had to return to the States. I became his distributor for his media guide, and you know, we would sell like 50 to 75 of them each year. I got to join Wayne at his preseason dinner at his friend's restaurant near Chinatown. So last Friday, after Wayne's passing, me and several friends met there at that same restaurant to toast our departed friend, Mr. Grasek. Wayne knew every single foreign player through phone, email, or mail, and interviews at Tokyo Dome. They always looked forward to playing there and knowing they would see Wayne and speak English with him. A friendly face every time they went there. Scouts, fans, baseball groups from the States, they all knew Wayne and loved his product. This season, Tokyo Dome will be much colder and sadder without Wayne there to see all his friends. I know me, my 2 trips to Tokyo Dome will be much less fun. Rest in peace, Wayne. Many friends and family praying for you. So that comes from Mark. And then also I got a message from our buddy Matt Merton, who said this. It's terrible to hear about Wayne's passing. He was a great guy and very warm over the years as we got to know each other. I always enjoyed seeing him and talking with him when we were in Tokyo. My prayers are going up for his family and friends. So, you know, for myself personally, I corresponded with Wayne occasionally by email and always got great responses from him. He always was a very helpful and encouraging guy to me. And one of the things I was looking forward to about this coming year was possibly being able to meet Wayne. And, you know, the least sad thing about this is that I don't get to meet him. I mean, the saddest thing is obviously that, you know, he is going to be sorely missed by his family and friends. So, you know, myself as well, I'm praying for his family and for his friends. It's a very sad time for the baseball world, for the Grasek family, and for all of his friends as well. By the way, his media guide is available. It is great. That's another thing I wanted to talk to Mark about, and unfortunately our conversation got kind of sabotaged by some poor recording equipment. So my apologies, Mark. But if you want, you can check my website for a little bit more of a detailed report about the media book. It's not up yet, but it will be up soon. So please stay tuned to www.thehunchingtigers.com.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about the news, moving on. So the first thing that we want to talk about is that Ryota Arai has free agency status available to him at season's end. Congratulations, Ryota. Now you're able to leave the team like Big Brother Takahiro, join your old team. You want to go back to the Dragons? Go ahead. Even if you go back there and you hurt us a little bit with your bat, I don't mind, personally. Sorry, Arai fans. Sorry, Wizzo, Mr. Picture Man. I know you like Arai, but I don't mind if he leaves us. Next bit of news. Shintaro Fujinami, he is not going to be doing any rehab work on the farm. As you may have heard last time, he is out with influenza, so he was deactivated. So he missed his start this past week, but it looks like he is going to be just doing some bullpen sessions down there, and he should be good to go on Thursday. So we look forward to that, especially if good Fujinami shows up. The next news, Mr. Eric Campbell. What is going on with him, you might ask? Well, he has been hitting fairly well on the farm. He's not showing any more signs of injury. It seems like he's, you know, he's over that. So he's just biding his time now. He's waiting for his turn to come up and play on the big squad. I personally think the way that Toritani has been struggling lately, he had a terrible series against the Giants. He had a mediocre series against the Dragons, and that's putting it nicely. He's past number two, Kanemoto, on the Iron Man list. There's nothing now. Why do we have to keep him in the lineup every inning of every game? I say we bring Campbell up, we toss down one of our other guys. Hey, maybe Ryota Arai, you know, let him be a free agent a bit early. Anyways, you know, get Eric Campbell up here and give him some real experience. You know, he's playing on the farm, but it's a lot easier to hit those guys than it is to hit the big, you know, the big aces. So I say give him a chance. I would love to see it. And speaking of foreigners, speaking of imports, we do have some news from stateside, and that is that Matt Merton has been released by the Detroit Tigers. Now, I talked to Matt a little bit, and he was saying that they needed to make some space on their roster, and I also read this online. They need to make some space on their roster for James Loney. If you know anything about him, he used to be a first baseman for the LA Dodgers. I guess now he's with the Detroit Tigers. And I think there was something going on with Miggy Cabrera where he needed some time off for injury or something like that. And so they needed space for Loney, and so they cut Merton free, which is really unfortunate. But let's see what happens next for Merton. Hey, remember what I said on Facebook? Merton, why don't you come out to the Hanshin Tigers and we can hire you as a hitter slash hitting coach? You can come in, you can pinch hit for us, you know, even if we don't use you in the field. You get yourself a sweet coaching job. You come back to the team, to the city that loves you so much. You come in and you pinch hit every now and then, or every game for that matter, and you just bring back some of the old glory. That would be cool. But, you know, we are sorry to hear that Matt is no longer employed by an MLB team, and hopefully things will turn around for him. So if we get any more news from the Merton camp, we will pass that on to you. All right. This week's hot topic is, how have we stacked up against the other teams in the CL so far? So with our three game set against the Chunichi Dragons, we have now finally faced every team in the CL. This is our record against each team. We have gone 3-3 against the Hiroshima Carp, 1-2 in their barn, 2-1 in ours. 3-2 against Yomiuri, 1-1 at Koshien, and 2-1 at Tokyo Dome. 2-0 and a rainout against Yokohama, and that was in Yokohama with the rainout. 2-1 against Yakult, and that was at Kyocera Dome. And 1-2 against the lowly Chunichi Dragons, and that was in Nagoya Dome. So we faced all of them. So our overall record is 11 wins, 8 losses. We're tied for second place. How we doing? I would say, in light of how we did last year, our 3-3 record against Hiroshima, that's all smiles. Our 3-2 record against Yomiuri, that's all smiles. You know, if we can finish at that pace, we're doing great. The 2-0 against Yokohama, obviously that's unsustainable. We're not going to go 25-0 against them this year. And our 2-1 against Yakult, I'm pretty happy with that. You know, that one loss coming on a Fujinami stinker of a game, the one with the brawl, I don't know if you remember that. And then the 1-2 against Chunichi, well, that's unacceptable. But then again, when we go to Nagoya Dome, we just don't have a great record. I would say if we can finish the year 500 against them at Nagoya Dome, that's a pretty good accomplishment. And then, you know, we just need to smoke them at Koshien. We need to. So This is what I was looking at just in my free time, you know, those like 5 minutes that I had. Haha, just kidding. I was looking back on the past 7 seasons of Central League standings. Okay. So if we go back, 2016, the Hiroshima Carp won 89 games. 2015, the Yakult Swallows won 76 games. These are all the Central League champions, by the way. 2014, the Giants won 82 games. In 2013, they won 84 games. In 2012, the winning team got won 86 games. In 2011, I think it was the Dragons with 75. And then in 2010, it was again 79 games. I think that was Chunichi as well, or maybe that was Yomiuri. Sorry, I don't have those team names right in front of me. Anyways, you average it out. The average amount of wins to take the Central has been 81.5. And on that note, out of those 7 seasons, no team with fewer than 82 wins did not win the pennant. In other words, even in the season where teams won 89, 86, 84 games, there was no other team with 82 wins. So they were all around, they were all 81 and under. The last time a team had 82 wins and failed to win the Central League pennant would be the 2008, ding, 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 Hanshin Tigers. That's right. That was the year that we collapsed. We had a great lead and we ended up kind of blowing it to the Yomiuri Giants late in the season. We ended up with exactly 82 wins and I think they had 84. So that was that. But basically what that means is I'm guessing, and this is just a guesstimation, by the way, that if we can win 82 games this season, odds are we will be able to win the Central League pennant. What would it take for us to win 82 games? So I broke it down this way. If we go 13 wins, 12 losses against the Carp and the Giants, the teams that we were unable to beat last season, and the teams that basically were roughly 500 against so far this season. Okay, so if we go 13 and 12 against them, if we go 10 and 8 in Interleague against the Pacific League, and then if we can go 15 and 10 against two of the weaker teams, and if we can go 16 and 9 against one of the weaker teams, that's 82 wins. Can we do it? Of course, that would also imply that there are no ties in our 143-game schedule, which is pretty unlikely. But anyhow, those are the rough numbers. So let's look at this again, team by team. Who are the players that are beating us or could beat us on these teams? When I look at the Giants, I see Tomoyuki Sugano, whom we have not faced yet, but who we will surely face somewhere down the road. We've got to be able to win one or two against him. I would say two against him, or, you know, if we can win, let's say we face him 6 times and win twice, and then maybe we win one more in a no decision. Like, if we give him 2 losses and then we get another win against the relievers during his starts, we're doing great. So Sugano is a key and Michaelis is another key. We already tagged him with 1 loss. If we can tag him with 1 or 2 more, that would be a bonus. We've got to get to Taguchi as well, who's another one of their aces. Like I said, 6 straight against him that we have not been able to win. So that is crucial. As far as their hitters go, honestly, I mean, it's kind of captain obvious here, but Sakamoto, who is their star, and then also Abe, who seems to crush us every time out. So those are the two guys that we really need to be able to rein thing. You know, we need to keep them under wraps. Hiroshima, what do we need to do against them? Well, Kenta Maeda, we need to... Oh, wait a minute. He's with the Dodgers, right? Wait a minute. He's stinking it up, right? Ha! Let's see. Hiroki Kuroda. Oh, wait a minute. He's retired. Okay. Chris Johnson. Oh, wait. He's sick. Well, he'll come back. So we definitely need to do some more damage on him. We did on opening day. Hopefully we can do it more and more during the season. The other guys that we need to look out for, honestly, I mean, they've got a bunch of youth and we just need to make sure that we don't get, you know, dominated by their young guys like Okada, like Kato, like Kuri. These are young guys that they have that are not, they're not amazing arms. I mean, they're solid, but hopefully this is my hope and my prediction. They're young guys, they don't have the stamina, and they are going to kind of flake out in the latter half of the season, and that's when we need to take advantage. We need our veterans to step up, pitch us some solid games, and beat the Carp. As far as their hitters go, you know, we could go obvious again. You know, we got to stop Eldred, we got to stop Arai, we got to stop Kikuchi, we got to stop Maru, we got to stop Tanaka, we got to stop Matsuyama. Holy smokes, we got to stop Seiya Suzuki. Oh my goodness, this is a solid team. So obviously, you know, it's going to come down to our pitchers being able to hold them to say 3-4 runs in those games. If we can do that, we're doing all right. I don't think we're going to get many shutouts against them this season. But just keeping it close, you know, giving our guys a chance to do it maybe against their bullpen. You know, Nakazaki is injured right now, so Imamura is their closer, and hopefully we can do some damage against their bullpen. Let's see, what is the key to victory against the Bay Stars? Honestly, I hate to say this, especially with Mark being a guest on the show. I'm not really scared of this year's Bay Stars. I did predict them to finish third behind the Hanshin Tigers, and they still might. And they do have a decent team, but they don't really have any standout pitchers. I mean, there's nobody on their staff that I would say, oh man, I'm scared of him, or I hate when we have to face him. You know, guys like Ino are pretty good, or, you know, they've got Ishida, they've got Imanaga, all these guys that start with the letter I, eh? Anyways, they're not super scary. I mean, on any given day, we could probably do a decent job against them. What we really have to do is we need to continue to hold Tsutsugo off of that home run board. How long can we do that for? I really hope this coming week we can continue his homerless streak on the season. But yeah, really, I mean, just par for the course with the Bay Stars. Just, yeah. The key against the Swallows. Okay, again, this is a team that somehow has been able to piece together a decent string of numbers to start the season with their pitchers, which is very uncharacteristic of them and very surprising. So, yeah, I think the key, though, and this is a key for the Tigers especially, is Hirofumi Yamanaka, their submarine thrower, who we always seem to struggle against. And even the past couple of times we've faced him, we've gotten a couple of runs early and it's looked like, oh, we've got him figured out. And then he settles in and we end up getting just those one or two runs. And so we really need to find a way to not only get a bunch of runs off of him, we need to get over the mental obstacle there in our minds saying that we can't hit him. And also we need to go deep in pitch counts with him. So Uemoto, come on, man. Where's the 10 pitch at-bats against Yamanaka? It seems like we are always swinging at second, third pitch against him and, you know, popping out or, you know, whatever. And, it, you know, because we're getting under the pitches and stuff. Man, I really think he's the key. Yeah, of course, we got to stop Yamada. Yeah, we got to stop Ballantyne. I mean, that's Captain Obvious stuff again there. But this is a team, the Swallows right now, that they have not shown their potential with power or with speed so far this season. So we need to make sure that we can keep them you know, in those slumps. And as for Chunichi, I really think the key is Nagoya Dome. I mean, that's a big thing. We just need to go in there and get over ourselves. Because for some reason, like I'd mentioned a couple of times earlier, you know, for 20 years now, we have been just atrocious at Nagoya Dome. I will say one thing, and that is that the Dragons don't have as bad of a hitting lineup as everybody says, and they don't have as bad of pitchers as everybody says. You know, they definitely on any given day can put a solid outing together on the mound. Although it's funny that it took till the 20th game for one of their starters to get a win. But you know, they have Valdez. They have Jordan, who we struggle against. They have Ono. They have Wakamatsu, I think his name is. They've got a few guys. Anyways, they've got a few solid pitchers. They've also got some decent bats. They've got Oshima. They've got Hirata. They've got Viciedo. And a few others as well. They've got, you know, Kyoda is coming along really well as well. So, you know, they're certainly not devoid of talent. And I stand by my pick of them finishing in fifth place this year, not sixth. So, that's where it stands as far as, the team goes. I really don't know if we're going to get to that 82 win mark. Where are we going to fall short, you may ask? Well, it's been a while, it's been a while since we had a winning season against the Carp, since 2014 that specifically. It's been a while since we've had a winning season against the Yomiuri Giants as well. I don't remember the last time, but it certainly has been longer than 2014. But, you know, they always say if the Tigers are going to win the pennant, it's going to go through Yomiuri. It's going to go through Kyojin. And so I really think that's the key. And I think that might be where we fall short. Sad to say. But prove me wrong, Tigers. Prove me wrong.
Predictions for the upcoming week. Again, I had help from my friend Mark, and we were unable to put this on the air. But Mark had this to say about the Bay Stars this coming week. He said probably they'll be going with rookie Haruhiro Hamaguchi on Tuesday, Shota Imanaga, who's a sophomore, on Wednesday, and then veteran Shoichi Ino on Thursday. And he said he thinks that the Bay Stars will win 1 out of 3 against the Tigers. He's also been impressed so far this year with the foreign pitchers, Phil Klein, Joe Wieland, as well as Spencer Patton, who has come in and become the closer in place of Yamasaki, who has really struggled this year. So Mark is saying 1 of 3. I'm going to say 2 of 3, and I'm going to be at Wednesday's game, so that better be one of the two games that they win. I believe Hanshin is going to be going with Iwasada on Tuesday, Akiyama on Wednesday, and I've been reading reports that Fujinami is going to be good to go on Thursday. So that should be our three, and I'm going to pick 2 out of 3.
Let's look now at our predictions for the Tigers versus the Dragons. We lost 2 out of 3 against them this past week, but now the tables have turned. We are facing them on our turf, where they don't play so well. And we're bringing some pitchers that maybe they aren't going to like so well, and that includes Randy Messenger, that includes Atsushi Nomi, and that includes...
Probably sandwiched between those two will be Koyo Aoyagi.
I'm going to predict, let's be bold here, Captain Bold, we're going 3-0 against the Dragons. We're going to atone for that 1-2 embarrassment earlier. And so on the week, we're going to go 5-1, everybody. This is going to be our week to, you know, climb up in the standings. We're going to be 7 games above 500 at week's end. T-Rays, bold prediction. We're about at the end of today's show, and you really have to forgive me for stuttering through half of the show. I don't know what's going on here. But just a couple of announcements. If you're going to be going to any Hanshin Tigers games, whether at Koshien or on the road, like if you live in Tokyo or if you're visiting Tokyo, if you're in Hiroshima, or if you're in Nagoya, I would love it if you could send me some pictures, whether it's a picture of the stadium, whether it's a picture of some of the fans you see, whether it's a picture of some action, if you've got a good enough camera, or if you... If you get in close enough to the action. I was fortunate enough to get some pictures just this past series from William Brooks, who's the founder of Kakehashi Sports. By the way, hope to have him on the show real soon. I got some pictures from a guy named Tim for our opener, and that was against the Hiroshima Carp. So yeah, if you are there, please take some pictures, send them my way. The email address is thehanshintigers@gmail.com. I'm going to be at the game on Wednesday, so if you are also going to be there, and if it isn't rained out, hit me up. I would love to meet up with you. It would be great to take some pictures together, all that kind of stuff. So please feel free to do that. Thank you once again for your time and passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the 4 magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe, write a review, and share with your friends and enemies. By the way, if you write a review either for the Facebook page or for the iTunes podcast or the Stitcher podcast, if you could drop me a note and let me know, I would love to check it out, read it myself. Even if it's not a 5-star review, you don't have to kiss my butt. You can be honest. You can tell me what you think I need to do better. Because I want to make this better for you, the fans, the awesome fans of the awesome Hanshin Tigers English News. Pardon me, of the Hanshin Tigers. You can get all the news instantly by following us on said Facebook page. Just search for Hanshin Tigers English News. You can follow T-Ray on Twitter, @TheHanshinTiger. Until next time, keep cheering until someone hits us a boatload of home runs. Have a great week, everyone. Come on, come on, you know there is your boy.
Cheers.